On Mondays, deacons from around the Archdiocese are allowed to go into the Waukesha County Jail to hold a Bible study for men. Those men are waiting for trial or sentencing. You have to figure that being in jail is probably one of the low points in anyone's life. It's often a time that some of these men will find Jesus. They have a lot of time on their hands, and some will end up reading the Bible. Some will recognize the path that they were on and realize the need to change. Sometimes that means distancing themselves from old friends, sometimes even from family. They fear that when they get out, returning to their old friends and family, it might also mean returning to their old habits, those habits that landed them in jail. Inside jail, they are determined to follow Christ. Once they are outside jail, they are laughed at, criticized, and scorned. And even worse, they are coerced or enticed into returning to their old ways, sometimes even by family and friends. I am saddened when I see a familiar face return to the jail after violating parole. Jesus warns that following him will cause division. People who should love and support each other are often in conflict with each other. Father against son, mother against daughter, battles with in-laws. It's hard to rid ourselves of every burden and sin when those who are close to you are burdened themselves. What are we to do when our closest friends or families are blocking our path? I am reminded of Thanksgiving dinners when those once a year relatives would join us and an uncle would sit down and start talking politics. Some sat silently eating their meals. Some agreed with him, some disagreed, a lot. And there were others who wanted to move their plate to the kids' table in the other room. I can see why politics were quickly banned at our Thanksgiving meals. The days of listening to one another and having open dialogue seemed to be a thing of the past. Nowadays, it seems he who shouts the loudest claims victory in any debate. Name-calling and bullying are common tactics in making a point. It seems like the earth is on fire for all the wrong reasons. But what if that disagreement is over religion? I once had a discussion with a man who said he had a problem with the creed that we say at Mass. He said there were parts that he did not believe, and he refused to repeat those lines when the creed was announced. I asked how much he had looked into the teachings behind what he disliked, and he said he didn't have to. He felt they were wrong, and that was that. During formation, I was exposed to all kinds of Catholic teachings. Some I knew pretty good, but never really understood why the church took the position that they did. Some I had a hard time accepting, and then was enlightened. Some I'm still exploring so that I can understand them better. I found that ordination didn't mean completion, but rather a commitment to a lifelong formation of my life with Jesus and his teachings. Wouldn't it be better to admit I don't understand what the church teaches than to outright say I don't believe it? The point is that, at least for me, I have to be open to teaching, exploring, seeking the knowledge that the church teaches. In my past, people close to me expressed hatred of the Catholic Church for the abuse scandal, and I would sit quietly and say nothing. And it's impossible to defend the church on that issue, and it will be a scar that the church will wear into eternity. But people started lumping all sorts of criticism on the church, most of it unwarranted. I found myself unprepared to defend my faith, the faith that I believed in. For me, I couldn't be lukewarm any longer. Unhappy with the way I was running the race, it was time to lighten my burden, leaving behind things and even friends that were distracting me. It was time to fix my eyes on Jesus. I utilized resources right here in our parish. For me, it started with a quest to know my faith. For others, it may be about increasing their prayer life or spirituality. And for some, it would be service to others. As we run the race, it's really a combination of all those three: prayer, service to others, and also searching your faith. They all give us the strength to unburden ourselves of the distractions and fix our eyes on Jesus. My new path wasn't without conflict or division. A lifelong friend asked me out to lunch when he heard I had started formation. We sat down and he started a 10-minute monologue about everything that was wrong with the Catholic Church. And when he finished, he asked me to pass the salt. Now, it would have been easy. He wasn't the only one who was trying to change my direction. It would have been easy to grow weary and lose heart. But at the same time, I was lifted up by members of this parish, many of whom I didn't even know. They would approach me and tell me that they were praying for me. Those prayers were clearly heard in heaven, but they were felt right here on earth. A few years ago, Father Luke Strand told me that one of the greatest impediments to vocations often comes within the family for those men considering the priesthood. When families were large, it was expected that at least one son would enter the priesthood, or maybe a daughter would enter into the consecrated life. Today, with smaller family, parents often are afraid they will lose their opportunity for grandchildren, or their children will be consumed by a flawed church. Many children are dissuaded from vocations by those who could have been their greatest source of encouragement. We have been blessed to see men and women pursue vocations through this parish. No doubt the parish that lifted me up also lifted them up. Those priests and deacons, along with those men still in formation, Benjamin Gray, Aaron Sear, Kurt Piot, Jeff Kucharski, Alex Kern, and even Mary Elizabeth Norton, need your prayers now more than ever. We live in a world where volume drowns listening to each other. Violence beats open discussion, and hatred rules where peace should be flourishing. It would be easy to grow weary and lose heart in being Catholic in today's world, especially if we are only lukewarm in our faith. We are told to persevere, to fix our eyes on Christ. The prize is worth the cost. Now, a few years ago, during the Special Olympics, a dozen children lined up to run the 100-yard dash. The race started, and one of the runners took a few steps, tumbled, and fell to the ground. A young girl saw this, and she stopped running, and she called to the other runners. Unbelievably, they all stopped, came back, helped the runner to his feet, and then they all finished the race together. When we picture a race, we think about an all-out dash to the finish. But our race is different. Our goal is not to finish first, but to make sure we all cross the finish line together. Jesus Christ already won the race, and he's standing at the finish line, encouraging us to come forward. But he's also next to us when we fall. He's present in the person who stops to help us. He's also there when we stop. When we stop to help someone who is struggling or has fallen. It's what we do best as Christians. It's what gives us joy and helps us to persevere when others give up. It comes down to our faith in Jesus Christ. And we can't be lukewarm. No more sitting at the kids' table for our faith. We should treat our faith in Jesus as if it was the most important things in our life. Faith and prayer and loving service to others are the right ingredients that will set the earth on fire.